VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we thank you for joining us here today on Crosstalk as we take yet another day on the United States Supreme Court topic. As you know, ladies and gentlemen, President Trump named Amy Coney Barrett as the nominee. Matt Staver was with us yesterday from Liberty Counsel addressing this and some of the mechanics of things going on. But this opening on the Supreme Court is huge, and many realize the implications. I mean, shortly after the death of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Planned Parenthood sent out a desperate fundraising email to supporters. They do not want another conservative justice added to the court. The Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer said, "Our number one goal must be to communicate the stakes of the Supreme Court fight to the American people." He added, "Nothing is off the table." Kamala Harris on Monday slammed the nominee Amy Coney Barrett as a threat to abortion. NARAL Pro-Choice America said, quote, "We will fight this with everything we've got." Pro-life leader Starr Parker said, "Nothing less than the future of our nation is at stake." Indeed, ladies and gentlemen, the stakes are high. Our guest today has said life hangs in the balance. Joining us, we welcome back Brad Mattis. Brad is the president of Life Issues Institute. They are the pro-life grassroots partner of the Susan B. Anthony List Education Fund. Life Issues Institute, founded in 1991 to serve the educational needs of the pro-life movement. Brad is also the host of Life Issues. It's a daily radio commentary, and also he is producer of multiple pro-life specials, including one that they have just recently released, Court in Session, Life Hangs in the Balance. Brad, welcome to Crosstalk.
Thank you, Jim. It's good to be with you again.
Brad, before we talk about the nominee herself, you have long been concerned and have educated on the Supreme Court. You literally believe that as we were entering this election cycle, life indeed was hanging in the balance. Share your heart with us on that issue.
Oh, absolutely so. And we saw how the Louisiana case turned out. It was a very modest proposal of legislation to require an abortionist be within 30 miles of a hospital in case something goes wrong, and it usually often does. We always seem to be one vote away from a majority that could begin to erode or even outright overturn Roe v. Wade. And this vacancy is of monumental importance.
Mm-hmm.
I've been involved in pro-life work for 45 years this year, and I have never seen, Jim, an opportunity that shows so much promise as that we have before us.
And with that being said, Brad, and you look at you referred to the court decision this summer, this is one that really was a missed opportunity for the pro-life movement.
Oh, it was. It was really an opportunity, and there was a second level of opportunity that we also missed, and that was something that wasn't really talked about, but it was whether or not the abortion industry had a right, a standing, to speak for a party that they were not involved with. They claimed to speak on behalf of women, and the legislature, the leaders in Louisiana, the attorney general and other top people presented an amazing case for just how much pain and a bodily assault that they've inflicted on women in addition to killing their babies, and that this was desperately needed for their safety. And still the court turned it down, and we point, of course, to Chief Justice John Roberts as the reason that it did go south.
Yeah, yeah. We'll be talking more on that a little bit later in the program. Brad, as you look at the legacy of Ruth Bader Ginsburg on the abortion issue, what comes to mind?
Oh, she's a self-described pro-abortion activist. She had close ties, to the least, with ACLU. And she worked for them for a long time. She served on their executive committee. She qualified herself as an abortion activist. But she was really critical of Roe v. Wade. And the reason for that is she thought it was too much too soon, and it was a poor legal decision. She said that America was in a discussion on abortion that she felt would go her way, and it would have been more of a solidified decision on the part of America. And by doing it in one fell swoop, she felt that that brought the pro-lifers together in a movement that is comparable to none since the abolitionist movement.
Hmm. Saturday, President Trump named Judge Amy Coney Barrett as his nominee. There was a lot of speculation that it would be her, but that was finalized Saturday with a nomination. Brad, what went through your mind when you became aware of the nomination?
Well, joy and laughter, praise to God. She had been my first choice for the last two vacancies. And so when we really kind of got from the White House that he was saving her for this moment in history, a woman to replace another woman on the court. So it wasn't a surprise, but it certainly was a joyful revelation to know that it was formal and that she would be our likely next Supreme Court justice. She's got a good record on abortion, serving in the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. She dissented from a case that when Mike Pence was governor there and signed it, it would stop discrimination in eugenic abortions. And the Supreme Court ultimately ruled against that. She dissented and supported it. There was also a case where she stood up for the First Amendment rights of pro-lifers, sidewalk counselors, regarding a bubble law. So she has been there. And then you look at her life, Jim. She's living her faith, living her stand on abortion. They have seven children, two of which are black children adopted from Haiti. The one came out of Haiti right after the earthquake. And their youngest son, Benjamin, has Down syndrome. And she is called one of the most nurturing, loving people that values relationships and the people around her.
Well, and it's interesting because the very adoptions you're talking about here, I mean, liberals have just come out in a full-launched attack, I mean, personal attack against her, against her children, claims that, there was some kind of white privilege here, claims that the children were illegally adopted. I mean, we're just seeing these crazy claims coming out of the woodwork.
Yes, and it's absolutely vile. That is the only word I can think to describe. You know, the pro-aborts were always chiding us, saying, well, if you don't like abortion, then you need to adopt all the unwanted children. So when pro-lifers live their convictions and adopt children that may be hard to place otherwise, now they're castigated. And in particular, this Ibram Kendi, who's an author, some of his vile comments are patently racist when he accuses them of racism. You know, he said, and this was a tweet he posted. Let me just read it to you. Some white colonizers adopted black children, Kendi wrote on Twitter. Civilized these savage children in the superior ways of white people while using them as props in their lifelong pictures of denial.
Mm.
It couldn't be worse,
yes.
I don't think. And how do you respond to that? I think it's so over the top that it disgusts people on both sides of the issue.
Yeah, it does disgust, and as you use the word vile, it indeed is vile. Planned Parenthood, too. I mean, they're sending out desperate emails, Brad, and I referred to one at the start of today's program. Quoted at lifenews.com is writing, this might be our last chance to protect not only Roe v. Wade, but protect freedom and justice for decades to come. They also stated, we know what RBG would have wanted us to do to protect her legacy. We must fight. That was a statement from Alexis McGill Johnson, who leads the abortion chain. Brad, they have full understanding. They know what the implications of this nominee are to the court and to the future of Roe v. Wade.
Yes, they should be frightened to the core. regarding their pro-death agenda that they've promoted over the last 4.5 decades, because this could very well be the death knell of Roe v. Wade. Personally, I think that the Supreme Court will whittle away at Roe, eventually making it a moot point. There is a possibility they'll reverse it outright. But these people who have promoted death for years understand that their reign may soon come to an end, and they have reason to be concerned, because finally it looks like good is going to win out over evil.
Brad Mattis is with us today, president of Life Issues Institute. And Brad, this has been long reported that groups like Planned Parenthood, they have been pinning their hopes on Joe Biden, who has promised to appoint judges who support Roe v. Wade. And they indicated previous they're going to spend no small chunk of change for a nonprofit organization, $45 million to elect Biden and other pro-abortion Democrats this fall.
That's right, because if they control the White House and the Senate, they can reverse some of the great work that has been done during the last administration. Trump has nominated, and the Senate has confirmed, by year's end it'll be over 300 judges. Their average age is about 52 or 53. Judge Barrett is 48. She's the only mother to have young children, school-age children, while she serves on the Supreme Court, if she is confirmed. So there are, you know, these people are going to affect our society for generations.
Mm-hmm.
And they desperately want to reverse that and stop it. They couldn't get the laws passed to allow abortion throughout pregnancy for any reason, so they had to go to the courts. And they've done that very successfully. That's why the pro-life movement has for years worked to elect pro-life candidates so that we could get a pro-life Supreme Court justice.
And
I think we're very close to having a majority.
And this is also reason why I'm seeing on the increase the words flip the Senate. I mean, there are pro-abortion groups that are working around the clock to flip the Senate from a Republican control to Democratic control, because they know they are the key to confirming judges that go into the federal judiciary.
Yes, and we have to look back on the last 4 years and see all the tremendous gains that we have made in the cause for life and religious freedom. And if the pro-abortion forces control the Senate and White House, that could be all gone. We have to understand that as Christians, we have an obligation to further God's will on the life issues. And so there's a very, very important opportunity for America's voters in the days and weeks ahead, as some people are already voting.
Brad Mattis, our guest here today on Crosstalk, our topic, Life Hanging in the Balance. Matter of fact, that is a special that they have produced here this fall, even prior to this vacancy coming about. Court in session, Life Hangs in the Balance. We'll tell you more about that, too, along with other discussion on this topic today. This is Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, when the Ice Age happened, was the Earth just covered in snow, like one big snowball?
Not at all, Chris. But there is a lot of evidence that the ice sheets, which started up in Canada, did come down into the U.S., but they didn't cover the entire globe at all. Actually, the Ice Age wasn't a time of bitter cold either. The summers were probably colder, such that the ice and snow which fell during the winter did not melt. But the winters were probably warmer on average than today. Today, if it gets really cold, it doesn't snow much because the cold air can't hold much moisture. The warmer the air, the more the moisture, the more the snow. And that's what's needed for an Ice Age. Just such a combination of factors would have happened right after the flood, essentially caused by the flood. By the way, that's the flood mentioned back in Genesis.
For more on the foundational principles set forth in Genesis, visit us on the web at www.icr.org.
Life Hanging in the Balance. Our topic today with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute. Folks, he's devoted his life to being a voice for life. And we're talking about the vacancy that's occurred now on the U.S. Supreme Court. President Donald Trump has named his nominee, and that is Amy Coney Barrett. And we understand that here within just a couple of weeks, October 12th, the Senate Judiciary Committee is going to begin that process. Rounds are being made to various senators' offices. Some senators are virtually closing the door in her face. They do not want to meet with her and will not meet with her. Brad, it's very interesting because even before this vacancy came about, you and your team were getting in gear by putting together this special entitled Court in Session, Life Hangs in the Balance. Tell us about it.
Well, yes. Last presidential election cycle, over 21% of the voters cited the importance of the Supreme Court in selecting their candidate. And so I thought it was good for us to connect the dots for people to understand the crucial role that the Supreme Court plays in ending legal abortion in America and how what the process is to achieve a pro-life majority on the Supreme Court and maintain that. So days after we finished production on that TV and radio special, Ruth Bader Ginsburg died. We have since amended it to incorporate her death, but it's really interesting in God's timing that orchestrated all of this, and now it is our goal to make sure that as many people hear that program and see the video program and understand the important role that they will play in all of this.
And friends, I know there are many independent stations who pick up this program. For those that are part of VCY America stations, as far as being owned and operated, we will be airing this special coming up on Friday at 12 noon Central Time, also at 5:30 p.m. Central Time during the evening drive, and then again Saturday evening at 8 p.m. Central Time. And, Brett, I know for other stations, if they want information, they could contact Life Issues. Is that correct?
Oh, they absolutely can. And the stations, we will refer them to Ambassador Advertising that produces and distributes all of our radio content, and absolutely happy to have others join us in airing this vital program.
It was September 23rd, just 5 days after the passing of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, that there was a number of Democratic senators, Brad, that released this new report detailing, in their words, how health care and reproductive rights are at risk with a new Supreme Court vacancy. Some 31 pages, it's a report how the right-wing capture of our courts threatens health care and reproductive rights for millions of Americans. We can't get into all of the bizarre and unfounded claims that they make in this report, but one that they seek to emphasize in this report on the overturn of Roe v. Wade is the so-called reproductive rights. And they say, Brad, that it will disproportionately impact people who are poor, people who live in rural areas, and people of color. And to me, this was appalling because these are the people that abortionists are preying on by putting their killing centers right in their neighborhoods.
Absolutely. We've done research on this over the years since 2012 and up through this year. We looked at every Planned Parenthood abortion facility in America, and we used census tract data and analyzed the ethnicity within 2 miles around each one of these killing centers. And 79% of Planned Parenthoods are in or near neighborhoods of minority women. They're within walking distance of these neighborhoods. They certainly have targeted them. We recently looked at the top 25 counties for sheer number of abortions committed there, and Planned Parenthood has increased their presence in the last decade by 35%. And 75% of those have been planted just since 2014.
My.
But regardless of what they say about racism, this is their business model. They're going after minority women, Hispanics, Latinos, blacks, and that's where the money is. That's where the eugenics philosophy is taking them. Margaret Sanger would be proud of what Planned Parenthood is today, targeting minorities and poor women.
My. Well, Brad, I know just last week you at Life Issues released some very interesting research. It's on your website. And here's the headline, New Research Reveals Aggressive Racist Agenda. You've got this posted right on your site.
Yeah. And one of the points of that is that 86% of the Planned Parenthoods in these top 25 counties are in or near neighborhoods of women of color. It's very clear that they are targeting women. They have a racist agenda to keep blacks and Hispanics from reproducing.
Friends, you can go to lifeissues.org. That's lifeissues.org. And on that homepage, all you have to do is scroll down to the latest. And you click on the latest. It's a big envelope there. You click on that, and that'll link you to their report here. New research reveals aggressive racist agenda. You'll find it at lifeissues.org. Brad, right now, pro-abortion forces, they are making pleas and emails and desperately looking for their constituents to call their senators in an attempt to stop this nomination. What should that indicate to pro-lifers?
It means that we have to do the same, without a doubt. With so much at stake, Jim, we pro-lifers and the Christian community needs to be in unison, speaking out in favor of this nominee. Judge Amy Barrett is an absolutely superbly qualified candidate for the Supreme Court. She's picture-perfect from my point of view. And we really need to support her. People can go to our website at lifeissues.org, lifeissues.org, and there's a red box there. It says Take Action Now. Click on that, and you can send a message to both your senators that you want them to support Amy Barrett for the Supreme Court. Even if your senators are pro-abortion, you still need to let them know what your wishes are. And it is so easy. Within a minute, maybe, you can send those messages off and communicate with your senators.
So, friends, let me just repeat that, and I'll have you continue on. Again, folks, lifeissues.org. Look for the red box on the homepage there. Take action now. And even if you don't have the direct email addresses to your senators, Life Issues, Brad, you're taking care of that for them.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We take care of all the busy work. It makes it so simple and user-friendly to do that.
Again, lifeissues.org, and look for the red box, Take Action Now. And by going there, they'll have to put in their name and address so you get them to the right senators, and then you will be generating a letter to the two U.S. senators for the listeners, no matter what state that they are in.
That's right. That's right. And we also have a wonderful website just for this Supreme Court confirmation. And that gives you a wealth of information of what's going on, schedules. Our video is there on the Supreme Court. And that is prolifecourt.com, prolifecourt.com. And one of the things that Susan B. Anthony lists did was they produced a dynamite one-minute spot that talks about the importance of Amy Coney Barrett. And you can share that on social media. You can email it to people. It's one of those things that's called Tell Everyone is the title of it. And it's superbly produced. And it's a great tool for all of us to use.
Again, folks, that website, prolifecourt.com, and yeah, you've got the same red button, a red button there, too, for action to be taken in this regard, prolifecourt.com, and you'll find more information about Amy Coney Barrett and about the whole process here as well. So let's talk about that process. Hearings are set to begin October 12th. Are you concerned that we're going to see an all-out attack as we did with the last nomination?
Oh, I think we will. It's going to be harder for them to attack her, and I think they will get much more pushback. But they said they're not leaving any option off the table.
Right.
And we know from last time with Kavanaugh that this is outright lies. And some of those women who made charges about Kavanaugh later admitted they never met him. So we can expect just absolutely horrid antics from the pro-abortion side.
I mean, as I said, people are literally, senators are closing their doors. You're not welcome here. We will not meet with you.
Yes. And imagine that. You know, 5-10 years ago, we would have never imagined that senators would be behaving like sophomores in high school. My apologies to high school students. But their disposition, they're acting, well, we can't get our own way, so we're going to take our toys and go home attitude. And it's just appalling. But we all have to look at that and understand what is coming from the other side and that we have to do everything we can to defeat that.
Brad Mattis with us today. Brad, we no doubt are going to be hearing a lot about stare decisis, that once the Supreme Court has issued a ruling, that it must forever abide by its own precedent. That's what stare decisis is all about. We've seen John Roberts succumb to this. You mentioned his name earlier. We're going to be hearing a lot about this during the confirmation hearing, so give us your thoughts in advance.
Well, that's one of the things we talked about in our TV and radio specials. And one of the guests I have on is a good friend of mine, a former congressman from Ohio, Bob McEwen. He said, in this modern day and age, he says, stare decisis is Latin for, I'm not going to read the Constitution anymore.
Yeah.
And that fits because, you know, we had Chief Justice John Roberts sided with pro-life point of view in a Texas legislation that was almost identical to the Louisiana one.
Mm-hmm.
And then 4 years later, it comes up and he says, I know this is wrong, but we have to respect stare decisis.
My.
So he's setting aside good law, good rule of law, good interpretation of the Constitution just to try to make the Supreme Court look. That is frightening.
It is frightening, and especially since he contradicted his own previous opinion on that. Matter of fact, you were with us the end of June in which we interviewed on that very topic. And ladies and gentlemen, you can go to crosstalkamerica.com and hear that whole interview that we conducted with Brad Mattis at that time. But you're going to be hearing this over and over during these hearings about stare decisis and Supreme Court precedent. You know, Brad, I'm so glad that somebody had the audacity to challenge the Dred Scott case and overturn it.
Oh, yes. Can you imagine, Jim, what our nation would look like if the abolitionists gave up and accepted the Supreme Court Dred Scott decision? Imagine the plight of black people in our society.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be absolutely appalling. But we take a lesson from history, and there's a lot of parallels between the pro-life movement and the abolitionist movement. And we will not sit idly by when a Supreme Court ruling sentences over 62 million babies to death over the decades to die on the altar of so-called choice of abortion.
We're going to take a quick break, but folks, I'm also hitting the button. Our phone lines are open, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Your questions, brief comments, pick up your phone, give us a call, 800-733-9829. Back in a minute.
Cemeteries and mausoleums are evidence of the sad reality of death, and that each of us has a divine appointment with death. According to surveys, Americans overwhelmingly believe that heaven exists and believe that most are going there. A small number believes that hell exists, with only 0.5% believing they will go there when they die. What if those who do not believe in hell die one day and find they made a tragic and eternal mistake? In the book, Hell is for Real, author Gary Fraser discusses the separation, the suffering, and the sorrow of hell, along with future events that will unfold. There is much information given by movies, television, psychics, and even by many religious circles. Gary presents scriptural truth on this important topic. VCY is making available the book, Hell is for Real, as our way of saying thank you for your support of $15 or more. Two copies for a donation of $25. Just ask for it when you call 1-800-729-9829.
Brad Mattis with us today from the Life Issues Institute. And folks, check out the website, prolifecourt.com. That really gets into this issue, prolifecourt.com. You'll find an opportunity there to get a message to your two U.S. senators, or to go to lifeissues.org and click on the red box, the Take Action Now box, and that will get you there as well. Our number to crosstalk, our lines are packed right now, but as soon as you hear somebody hang up, that will be your opportunity to call at 800-733-9829. Brad, there have been a couple decisions here from President Trump of recent, and just a quick response to them, if you would, before we pick up our first call. Number one, we do see President Trump ramping up his pro-life position, an executive order to ensure babies who survive attempts to kill them, that they have to receive medical care just like any baby born alive. That's just announced days ago.
Yes. That's been our experience, Jim, is that the Trump administration has always looked for ways to further the cost of life. And many of these things they came up with, president came up with, and not pro-life leaders. So mm-hmm. He's really leading the way. And who would have thought that he would have to come up with such a directive that babies who survive abortion or are born prematurely must have basic medical care?
Yeah, it would be a no-brainer. But folks, sadly, we're losing sound thinking in the halls of Congress on many fronts. One other issue, Brad, is that he has also expanded the Mexico City policy.
Oh, he did. Not only has he expanded it hugely early on when he reinstated it, normally it protects about $500 million tax dollars from going to pro-abortion organizations that promote it as a form of birth control. They expanded that to cover almost $9 billion.
Huge.
Even billion. And now, not only if they don't promote abortion, if they receive money from those who do, they are ineligible for Title X. Mm-hmm. So that's another amazing way that the Trump administration is coming through for the babies.
Yeah. So, folks, stay abreast of issues, lifeissues.org. Let's go to the phone lines. David calling in from Mobile, Alabama. David, you're on the air.
I was calling to find out, why is the Senate not voting today or tomorrow? Mm-hmm. Why wait till the 12th of October?
Thank you for the question here, Dave. And Brad, we understand, though not constitutionally required, what they have been doing is usually have a time of allowing for visits to the senators and then having hearings in the Judiciary Committee before going to the Senate.
Yes, and those are taking place. They began in earnest today with a list of people that Amy Barrett is calling on. And, of course, not everybody is agreeing to see her. But these are the days when she will be visiting with senators, primarily those in the Judiciary Committee, that will be making a recommendation to the full Senate. And they will have one-on-one discussions that sometimes frequently is just the two of them. So nobody's mm-hmm. really sure of what transpires. But it's an excellent opportunity for the senators to get to know her, what makes her tick, and what her philosophies are.
Christy is calling from Burlington, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Christy.
Hi there. I just wanted to point out the hypocrisy of the evildoers against Amy Coney Barrett. All these Hollywoodos that have adopted black children, such as Madonna, Sandra Bullock, Jolie, Charlize Theron, and they're not called colonizers. And God has a sense of humor with these people, because I'm telling you what, now this opens up the can of worms to the Clinton Foundation, what really happened in Haiti. And he's going to shed light on the darkness. And that woman, Hillary Clinton, is the spawn of Satan, and she's going to get hers. That's all I got to say. Mm-hmm. And that $40 billion, where did it go? Oh, $2 million went for Haiti. Where did the rest of the money go?
Thank you, Christy, for the call. And there's a principle in Scripture, Brad, about sowing and reaping, is there not?
Yes, there certainly is. And I think your comment about the celebrities that have adopted black children, much to their credit, they're not being called vile names and castigated on social media.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Let's go to Jack in Phoenix, Arizona. You're on the air, Jack.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys, both of you, what you do. Hey, I have a question about the attacks coming from the right against the nominee, saying that she will follow the Pope's direction, and I understand that's a non-starter, but I've also heard from different sources on the right, conservative sites, that say that she will apply stare decisis to Roe v. Wade, and that she has stated that in the past. Now, I don't know if that's true, but I've heard it. I'd like your reaction. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jack.
Well, we hear a lot of things at a time like this, Jack, and so I take that with a grain of salt. She doesn't strike me as the type that would be making statements that would preclude her from sitting in judgment on them at a later time. She has a fair history on the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals already. I do not agree with any of that criticism from the hard right. If it's out there, I think it's pretty small. She is going to be a strict constructionist, very much out of the cloth of Scalia, who believes that words have meaning and the Constitution is not a living organism that changes the style or whatever is going on in American society.
Our next caller is from Wausau, Wisconsin. Jane, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Yes, I was going to say, when they ask her about abortion and reproductive rights, I wish they would just say, I can't answer that. I need to talk about life.
Okay, so indeed, she will have to make decisions based upon different cases that come up before them in that regard.
Why can't she just say that, though? I don't need to talk about that. I would like to talk about life.
Okay. And this is not a... Okay, thank you for the call. This is not a time when justices or potential jurors are able to share personal viewpoints, Brad. This is how they interpret the law itself.
And that's what she shines in as far as not imposing her particular faith or her opinions. She depends upon the Constitution to lead her. Now, because of judicial ethics, she cannot comment on any case that may come her way. They can ask her about her decisions that she's made on the appellate court and ask her, some questions as far as what were you thinking when you ruled this or issued this dissent. And she can answer those, but as far as reversing Roe v. Wade or other issues that might come before the court, eugenics, abortions, it depends. If it's something new that she hasn't ruled on, she is not able to expand on those comments based upon the ethics that she's going to.
Just before we pick up our next call, again, write down the websites, prolifecourt.com. Prolifecourt.com and lifeissues.org. We're going next to Ann, calling in from Santa Fe, New Mexico. Good afternoon, Ann.
Good afternoon. I have 2 points. One, I'm not up to speed with the process, so forgive my ignorance, but if someone slams the door in her face, so to say, and doesn't meet with her, they should not be allowed to vote on her, period. And the other point I wanted to make, the other point I wanted to make is, I heard a story and saw an interview with a twin who was the leftover twin from a botched abortion. And if she was left on the table to die, she wouldn't be alive now is what I'm trying to say, if that law that everyone was applauding in New York was intact.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you heard that story?
Brett, are you familiar with that?
Yes, I actually interviewed her on a TV program when we did Eight of Facing Life Head On. And yes, they aborted her twin sister, but missed her in the process. And then she lived, of course, to talk about it. She has since gotten married and have children of her own. So you realize just how abortion is a generational issue.
Yeah.
And you end life and there are no children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren.
Yeah, thank you, Ann, for the call. Brad, do you think what we're missing out as a nation, I mean, some 62 million babies killed by abortion, and we're losing them and their children and their grandchildren at this point?
That's right. And, one of my guests on the special program is a Democrat Louisiana, State Senator Katrina Jackson. She sponsored and wrote the legislation that was at the Supreme Court this summer. And she made a statement I will never forget. And she said that we are aborting those children who God has sent to provide a cure for cancer or other diseases or provide technology. And she said, everything that ails America, the answer will come to the womb of a woman. Wow. And that just really sets the tone for, you know, how we should look at motherhood and the role that motherhood plays in society. And she says, we may have aborted the people God sent to provide those cures, but she says, you know, we don't have the luxury of knowing who was bringing those cures, so we need to value every single human life and protect them.
From Tomo, Wisconsin, we have Tom calling. Tom, you're on the air.
Yes, the Guttmacher Institute is the people who do the statistics for Planned Parenthood. Yeah. And according to Guttmacher Institute, black women are 2.5 times more likely to have an abortion than white women, and other minorities are 1.5 times more likely to have an abortion. Therefore, these people are definitely for genocide. Thank you.
Yeah, and that's what's so frightening. And we interviewed Life Decisions, Mark Crutcher on there. He produced Maafa 21, and it just reveals so much of this. It's really like a horror movie, Brent.
It is, and I highly recommend that movie. If you can get it on a download or order the DVD, it's very eye-opening, and every person should understand the reality of Planned Parenthood's racist agenda. Just on the Guttmacher Institute, they were originally formed to be the research arm of Planned Parenthood. They spun them off to try to create an independence, but they were still funding them until very recently when they stopped. That is a dyed-in-the-wool pro-abortion entity that tries to pass themselves off as some sort of neutral research think tank.
We have Gary calling in from Joplin, Missouri. Hi, Gary, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I've noticed over the last 10, 15 years that whenever, I'm going to have to drop.
Well, I'm sorry, we just lost him. Okay, Brian in Cambridge, Minnesota, you're on the air.
Yes, hi, Jim and Brad. I just have a comment. I live in Minnesota here, and it's very liberal here. We got our mayors and governors, but what good would it really do to call the senators if they've already made up their mind that they won't even talk to that judge that they want to? I mean, what good would it do if they don't even, would they even take the call?
Thank you, Brian.
They need to hear from you regardless, and you need to register your disgust that they won't even meet with the nominee. That is beneath the dignity of a senator, and you should tell them that. And if they hear from enough people, that may influence them to a degree. We just never know what God will do with that. But it is our obligation and honor and privilege to voice our opinion on behalf of innocent women.
Thank you, Brian, for your call. I'm up against a break. Brad Mattis is with us today from Life Issues Institute, lifeissues.org, and prolifecourt.com. They do have petitions there. And if you're looking for a phone number for your senator, I'll give you that here after the break as well. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. See the story recently where a Washington-based attorney wrote a column for the Huffington Post talking about how the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg and her fear over the issue of reproductive rights led her to join the Satanic Temple? Now, don't confuse the Satanic Temple with the Church of Satan. They want you to believe there's not a lot of similarities. But ironically, the Satanic Temple uses a lot of occultic satanic symbolism. But they also declare that they reject tyrannical authority. What authority would that be, my friends? The authority of absolute truth. And they're very hostile to Christians, particularly those that evangelize with a biblical gospel. This is simply, again, proof that the Democrat Marxist Party and many of the Satanists are indeed carrying out a spiritual battle, a war.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Brad Mattis with us today from the Life Issues Institute. And folks, we would certainly commend you to listen to their special Court in Session, Life Hangs in the Balance. You can find it on their site, lifeissues.org and prolifecourt.com as well. And our network will be releasing that here on Friday and Saturday. But certainly get informed and learn more about the nominee and then also about the process as well. We're going right back to the phone lines, which have been packed throughout the program, to Farmington, West Virginia. We have Ken calling in. Hi, Ken, you're on the air.
Thank you. Hey, I just had a couple comments and also a question. I'm reading the book of Jeremiah here in chapter 1, where God knew him before he formed him in the womb, before all this. And we know there's plenty of other scripture to back up the reality of how God is to us as Christians, because we have faith, we believe in God. We understand this view, but these liberals and the way they're going with their thinking is they're looking for any excuse they can to murder their own children. And I just wanted to know, do you know offhand what the percentage is of pregnancies that happen because of rape cases? Because they keep throwing that one up. Well, what if this woman this and what if this woman that? And they're not considering that that's not even their life. It's not the child's fault for the rapist's action. Right. And God sees us, and he takes some of the most unbelievable circumstances of people. You know, you look at biblical examples of people who, like Jephthah, for example, and who his mother was, and yet look how greatly God used him, and he's in the Hall of Fame of faith, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we as believers appreciate these stories, but I was wondering, does our speaker today, does he have statistics on that? So, because people throw that at me, and I always ask them, aren't you glad your mom didn't abort you?
Yeah.
And if she did, we wouldn't be even having this argument in the first place.
Thank you, Ken, for the call. We're going to have Brad respond.
Okay, and I, too, am reading Jeremiah right now, and further in the book, we see how Israel paid a dear, dear price for turning their back on God, and that's what I fear for our nation if we don't change our ways and repent. As far as the rape situation, the most accurate estimate is between 1% and 2%, and that would be all the hard cases, which would also include a disability that's incompatible with life, which they call the hard cases, about 1% or 2%. What I tell people is it is wrong to punish the child for the crime of the father.
Yeah.
We should not sentence the child to the death penalty because the father committed a crime. And many women whom I've talked to that had an abortion after rape said that they felt that they were raped twice.
Mm.
And those who chose life, not one, Jim, not one woman regretted choosing life because they say, that baby is mine. That baby doesn't belong to the rape. This child is mine, and I love that child.
Thank you, Ken, for the call.
Thank you.
Let's go to David in Milwaukee. You're on the air.
Thank you, Brad and James, for standing for life. Jesus is life. Here's a scripture from Proverbs 8:35 and 36, real quick. And this is Jesus, for whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul.
Hmm.
All they that hate me love death.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got a remark from Dr. Rebecca Brown, female doctor, and she was an author in the early 90s when I got saved, and she wrote, He Came to Set the Captive Free. She had a definition in the book of abort sin, I call it. I don't even like to use that word, but she called it human sacrifice to the God of Satan.
Hmm.
So, and I put baby human sacrifice, and I use the word abort sin.
Yeah.
And
I tell you what, I'm going to have to stop there, Dave. I've got a few minutes and a lot of other callers lined up here. Thank you for the call here today. Brad, this is something that we're seeing, and those who espouse that they are worshipers of Satanism or followers of the Church of Satan, they've tried to use abortion as a means to further their own ends.
They have, and recently I wrote on this at the latest about that. They held a fundraiser, and the top prize was a free late-term abortion. You can read more about that at lifeissues.org and click on the latest. But yeah, we're seeing absolutely evil taking the side of abortion. And if we don't think that this is spiritual warfare, the evidence is all around us that it is.
Watertown, South Dakota. Laura, you're on the air.
Yeah, say thanks, guys, for all you're doing. I'd like to point out Genesis 3, verse 15, as part of the curse. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. So it's not just eugenics, although that's a part of it, mm-hmm. but you've got ungodly men and women hating on godly women like Amy Comey Barrett or AOC. But you've got also Kamala Harris, Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, Clinton, all hating, you know, they're on the evil side. So you've got women basically using abortion as birth control, and essentially you have a lot of women serial killers out there on the ungodly side, hating on the godly side.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Brad, I think of in John where we learned that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly.
Yes, and more abundantly. And when we follow God's will, I have talked to person time and time again who chose life during those difficult times and just glowed as they described the blessings that flowed from that situation. Out of what we think are the ashes of our lives at times, God does some amazing, wonderful work.
Spokane, Washington, and Dana, you're on the air.
Yes, I just have a question for you, too, and I'd like to get your opinion. 3 weeks ago, my pastor's son on Sunday night gave a devotional where he stated that if you could close all of the abortion clinics in America and no souls were saved, what good would that do?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, if even if nobody was saved as a result of that, are we not supposed to stand up against the shedding of innocent blood and defend the helpless.
Thank you for that, Dana. Brad, we're down to 30 seconds. I'm going to have you comment on that, but you know what? How I see it, it's not either or, it's both.
Yes, it absolutely is. Defend those who are being led away to be killed, and many of the centers we see are sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and forgiveness through the blood of Christ.
Amen. Thank you, Dana. And I apologize to other callers. We are simply out of time for the broadcast. Brad Mattis, our guest here today, lifeissues.org, or check out prolifecourt.com. And Brad, thank you for your research and for your decades of service in calling our, to our attention the value of life.
Oh, it's a privilege to do so, Jim.
Brad Mattis with us here today, and folks, listen to their special that has just been produced as well, Court in Session, Life Hangs in the Balance. Thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.